The best message that we have for moms today is to come back to Jesus as our foundation, to remember who Jesus is and what he gives. To remember, moms, that you are oftentimes the lead discipler of your young children especially. And you are showing Jesus to them as you trust Jesus. As we study Jesus together, know that you show that same Jesus to your kids every day. In the ordinary things of the day, from meals to washing dishes to wiping off little bloody scabs or whatever it may be, for those with boys especially. Those that teach here or work with kids, you're also doing the same thing. You're teaching kids who Jesus is, but that's the foundation. That is better than any short-term solutions. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't develop parenting skills as moms and dads, but the foundation has to be Jesus Christ. When I think of my mom, I think of conversations growing up, and something would happen, and I would blow it in some way. It used to happen, and it still happens. And I remember her response often was to take me back to Jesus, to say, you know, you can't change what happened, but you can change where you go from here. You can change what you do about it, what you learn, and coming back to a right relationship with God. I remember my mom teaching me to memorize and love God's word, as she had more verses memorized than anyone I knew growing up. And she instilled that love for God's word in me that was part of discipling. I think of her patience and firmness without harshness, all at the same time. And she was modeling Jesus. And I'm convinced as a parent, if we're not trusting Jesus for strength, patience is hard. Sometimes. And the challenges are difficult. But I can remember Mom doing that. I remember her giving me a perspective I didn't have on situations. And now I know that was called wisdom. I saw her love and respect my father. Sorry, I didn't expect that. I saw her love and respect my father as Jesus instructed. I never once saw her belittle him, even when she was right. And she was showing Jesus to me. And she was showing me how to take a faith and live it out in real life. I saw people take a priority over stuff or tasks. I saw her stay up late till sometimes 2, 3 in the morning when I'd get in from college, which is not what I recommend to my kids, just to connect and fixing midnight snacks so we could talk. So many different things. But I knew without a shadow of a doubt that her foundation was her love for Jesus. And that was where her strength came from. And I am blessed that she is here this morning and I get to worship with her every week. Thank you, Mom. Love you. And so we come to John, and that's the background of why I'm still doing John on Mother's Day, is because I think this is the best thing that we can do and the best strength that we can have. So turn with me to John chapter 13 and 44 through 50. We'll look at the last paragraph where John is summarizing the words of Jesus as he ends this public ministry. Next week, we go to the Last Supper. And we're at just the very last events of Jesus' life, but this is the end of that public cry to believe. Verses 44 to 50. And we see just a couple of quick summary points that I want us to get before we read these chapters. The first is in verses 44 and 45. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me." And again, these are summary points that we see throughout the first 12 chapters of John. But point number one is Jesus is one with the Father. He is God with us. And there's two different ways of looking at this. One is the theology of it is Jesus is God. He is fully God and fully man. And as we study Jesus and who Jesus is, which is why our series title is Jesus Is, as we study these things, we are studying who God himself is, who the Father is, who Jesus is, the Trinity. And so we are learning, and Jesus is saying, I'm one with the Father. If you know me, you know him. If you hear my words, you hear his words. And so that's an important point theologically that we've talked about in weeks past. But also, if you think about the incarnation, and if you think about God with us, the fact that Jesus is the Father, that Jesus is God, one with the Father, means him being with us means God himself is with us. That he doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us. And that is the whole, one of the points of the incarnation is that God is with us. And again, applying that to parenting this morning, when I think of parenting, there are times it can feel very alone. And there are times when it feels like I have no clue what to do in this situation. I had it figured out last week and they changed. And we don't know what to do this week, but we are not alone. God is with us because Jesus came to earth and because he is one with the Father. And so Jesus is God in the flesh. He's giving us access to God, understanding of God, relationship with God. And we are not alone. Verse 46 is another summary statement that says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And we saw this throughout the first 12 chapters of John. Multiple times Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. And here he reminds us, I have come to be light. He has come that those that believe will live in the light. They will have direction. They will have an ability to know where God wants them to go. And they will not stumble in the darkness. They won't stub their toe. They won't hit the Legos that are as sharp as razor blades. But they will have light to know where to go. And so point number two is Jesus is light and gives direction and victory over darkness. And I think that's helpful for us as parents and in every area of life, that the closer we draw to Jesus, the closer we draw to the light, and the more guidance and the more illumination he can give us for where we should go and what we should do in every situation, even the unknown situations that you may have been wringing your hands over this morning. Jesus is light, and he came to overcome the darkness. Darkness means the confusion, not knowing what to do, but also the reign of sin and the effect of sin in our lives. And so Jesus came to show us the Father. He came to break the hold of darkness. And finally, the rest of those verses, 47 to 50, Jesus came to bring salvation and eternal life. He took care of our sin with the gospel. If we read those starting in verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge, though. I added the though. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. There's a lot of different sentences there, and typical John writing, they sort of circle onto each other, and it can be confusing, but he's saying, basically, I have come to bring salvation. And so this first coming, the cross, the resurrection, I've come to deal with your sin. So you can come to me broken. You can come to me as sinners. You can come to me hurting, and the cross deals with those. And so many times we can think we have to be perfect to come to Jesus, that we have to earn Jesus' love, that if we're good enough, he will love us. And the opposite is true. He loves us so we can have his righteousness. It's a complete opposite way. And so in parenting, when we feel, and applying those to parenting today, when we feel not enough, when we feel we've blown it, and every one of us feels that way. When I talk to moms and dads, there are so many regrets. But the cross deals with those. And the power of Jesus deals with those. Because he makes those right. And he turns that around. Now Jesus does go on to say, at the last day you will be judged. Your sin isn't just like, whoop, it's gone. But if we don't turn to Jesus, there is a consequence. And that's what the Father, the word of the Father and the word tells us. But if we turn to Jesus, then his blood, as we sang this morning, is most powerful. And it covers, and it forgives, and it heals. And we are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to show us the Father. He came to give us light. And he came to give us eternal life if we turn to him. And he takes care of our sin with the gospel. As we listen to John 9 through 12, think of those things, because those three things are just infused into every one of those four chapters. As we're going to see that Jesus interact with the man born blind, we're going to see that he is the good shepherd. We're going to see him talk about his relationship with the Father. And we're going to see Lazarus rise from the dead. And Mary and the triumphal entry. But in all those things, think, how is Jesus showing us the Father? How is he giving us light to live by? And how is he giving us eternal life now, relationship with him? So let's read together. I think, Sarah, I think you're doing John 9. So listen. There's notes if you want to write down some little points on each chapter. But listen to what the Holy Spirit would have us hear through his word.
John 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "It is he." And others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he sees now we do not know. No, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "Ask him. He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
John 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up some stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there.
John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and he stayed there with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God.
And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And as we come to this, and we hear those stories, and we hear those grand statements that he and his Father are one, I am reminded that this is our God. That this is our God who heals the man from lifelong blindness. This is our God who calls out to a dead body, and the dead body is revived and walks out of the grave. That's pretty incredible. This is our God who was proclaimed king as he entered Jerusalem and was coming to save us from our own sins and to bring us into his kingdom of righteousness and eternal life. This is our God. And that same God is the God that walks with us every day, even 2,000 years later. That same God is the one that walks through the joys of tomorrow and the struggles of tomorrow. the easy and the hard, the happy, the sad, that same God is the one that is empowering us. And so on this Mother's Day, as we read John, we reflect on who Jesus is, I challenge you, pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. And that is the best parenting advice I can give you. Go to him tomorrow and be in the Word. Study his Word. Memorize the Word. Spend some time in prayer. Carve out wherever that might be in your day. It probably, if you have kids, won't be an ideal time every day. But carve it out, because you need Jesus and I need Jesus to do this thing called discipling. And then as we see his power and we see his strength, our families will see that and be discipled to follow him. Today we want to worship again after we've read God's word. And so worship team, if you come up, we want to stand together and just sing a couple songs of worshiping our Lord and praising him for who he is, reminding ourselves that he's the foundation and our strength for living this life. If we do it on our own, oh, we mess it up. But if we do it with Christ, he gives us the strength to do it. Let's stand together. Oh, this makes me want to pursue Jesus. And so I leave you today with the question, how are you going to pursue Jesus this week? What are you going to do different this week that makes it not just another ordinary week, but how are you going to pursue our Lord more this week and deepen that relationship this week? And make that part of your schedule. Plan it right now, because if we don't plan it, it doesn't happen, right? So plan it now. What are you going to do this week? When are you going to spend extra time with Jesus? When are you going to spend that time in prayer? What book do you want to read if you haven't been reading, or maybe follow along with the rooted reading? But pursue our Lord, and that is the foundation of our strength, and that is the foundation of our hope and our ability to keep going. And it may sound like, man, that's just a simple answer. The power of our Lord is not a simple answer. It is a powerful answer. Seek him. Seek him. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we come today and thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us over and over and over, especially in the book of John, who you are, who Jesus is, that Jesus shows us the Father. And Lord, help us not to just take this as head knowledge, but to take this as the God of the universe wanting a relationship with us, choosing to reveal himself to us so we can know you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take just intentional steps this week to know you, to follow you. And may those times become a foundation of encouragement for the daily life things that happen. Lord, because you are our God and we trust you. Lord, this morning we do celebrate our moms and we thank you for them. And Lord, you have sovereignly given us each the families we have and placed us in the homes we are in so we can be discipled in that family. So Lord, I pray for the moms that are here and the dads, but especially the moms today, that you would give them the ability to show who you are to their kids and to their families. Lord, that you will give them the wisdom and discernment to know what words to say and when to say them and sometimes when not to say them. But that would be an act of discipleship, that our kids that are here would know you through their parents and through their moms. Lord, I pray that you would give an encouragement to moms today and help them to know how much they are appreciated and their work does not go unnoticed, even though it's often just the backbone of the home that isn't noticed, but it is today. And so, Lord, thank you for how you have uniquely gifted moms to contribute to the discipleship of the home. Lord, I pray for them in your name.